the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program. Friends and enemies, welcome back, Canadian Bitcoiners podcast. This is number 147. Len, 147 times we've done this show, and today we're down real bad. Actually, not that bad. Last week was a little worse, 10%. I think we missed on the weekend before falling the ETF. Another 5% today. Good opportunity to buy. So we're good over here. What's going on in your neck of the woods? How are you?
No, I'm holding steady, Joey. 10% drop is nothing. Zoom out, go back a month and a half, even a month, and you'll see the price is still relatively stable. We were stuck in the, what was it? For the most part of 2023, the mid to high 20s it was for the most part. And that was, you know, stuck in that, just that fat area. We got out of it, and then we got into 30s quickly, then we got into 40s. So really, you know, halving is coming up. It's just around the corner, and it's a good opportunity if you have some extra scratch sitting around to buy some Bitcoin. Not financial advice, but if you don't, unfortunately, then you're going to sit in the sidelines and watch other people buy it on the cheap, because I think this thing is going to rip in a not too distant future. Other than that, Joey, everything is fantastic over here. Just, you know, nice and warm, nice and toasty warm, thankfully, in the basement. It's chilly outside. How are you, buddy?
It's cold in my basement, but I'm good otherwise. Coming off a great weekend of football. Played quarterback for a new team on Saturday. 4 TDs, 1 pick. A lot of running. My knees are sore today, but I'll get used to it. I will add that
Bundy got 4 touchdowns in the game, if I recall correctly.
I heard. Yeah, I've heard that before. You know anywhere else I can hear that story?
Wow, I just heard that he got the 4 TDs in that one game. Great story.
The winter weather has my dog hyped to be outside. So I leave Moose outside for like, you know, 15, 20 minutes at a time. And if it starts to snow, he turns it into 30 or 40 minutes at a time. So he's inside right now, much to his chagrin, because my wife's out at Pottery. So yeah, interesting change in the weather here pretty quickly in Southern Ontario. You see, it's supposed to be like rainy and muddy starting on Wednesday. So you get 15 centimeters of snow tomorrow, I think. 10 to 15 centimeters of snow. And then rain on Wednesday. So don't bother with the shovel. Just wait it out.
Yeah, I haven't shoveled for a long time. I'm just letting it, letting Mother Nature play its course. I don't care. Fuck
it. Love Fuck to see it. That.
Joey, you know, I just wanted to say a big thanks to Sabrina for coming on the show this past weekend and doing a video about the cold card and setting it up. So what it is, for those who have not yet seen it, it's on our show on our YouTube channel, Canadian Bitcoiners podcast YouTube channel. And you could see her do it. And she basically sets it up from scratch, cold card. She's 10 years old. And if she can do it, anybody out there with some technical background could do it, because it's not that hard to do. It's relatively easy, actually. Let's be perfectly honest. Yeah. It's just people are looking at the instructions and they think it's just too hard. No, it's not the case. She set it up. She showed it how it's done from A to Z. So check it out if you haven't already done so. And if you need help with it, I guess she could give you a call or something and she could help you through the process. She may be available for that. Probably not.
MVK, you need to sponsor this program. Okay. We have little kids putting together videos of how to set up the cold card. So easy, a 10-year-old could do it. And I know cold card in the past has had some trouble convincing people that it was an easy piece of hardware to use, but you and I have never felt that way. I don't think a lot of people who watch the show feel that way, but there is a group of people who are still leaning toward like Ledger, Trezor, other kind of crappy, you know, less secure, let's say, hardware wallets with less dedicated teams and less extreme views on the future of money and the importance of Bitcoin. So yeah, definitely check that out. I'd recommend that for everyone, whether you're a 10-year-old girl or not. It's good to check out the ease of use on that thing. So let's get to the sponsors and we'll do a little housekeeping here. So the first sponsor, EasyDNS. You know them. You love them. Mark's a great friend of the show. All your registrar, domain hosting, DNS service provision, whatever you need, Mark and team can help you. Whether it's starting a website, starting a little brand that you want to grow online, whether it's VPS stuff, so virtual private servers for Bitcoin nodes, Nostr relays, nodeless implementations, BTC pay server implementations, you want to start a little shop, whatever it is, Mark can help you with your it. And he's been a great help to us. Whether you need an email provision, you know, bring emails from your other website provider, he can do all that stuff for you. All you got to do is head over to easydns.com, go sign up, or maybe you can catch Mark in the chat or on Twitter and use the code CBP Media. Tell him we sent you 50% off your first buy. I know a bunch of you guys have done this already. I hope you continue to. That's how we got started, Aylin. We had an it once upon a time that we wanted to start and turn into this thing after a couple of years. So why not someone else? If you got an it, listener, viewer, make sure Mark is over. Make sure Mark knows about it, and he'll help you get it off the ground for sure.
Yeah, they also have take advantage of domain share. So if there's a lot of phishing that's going on out there, and this is something that helps prevent that from becoming a reality from your website. So it's, yeah, they're giving a lots of options out there for you to protect not just yourself but your website as well. So I totally recommend checking them out. Another sponsor we have is Bull Bitcoin. Now we have a great price action going on. I'd say I see 39,000 that's behind me on the block clock. So good time to buy if you want to. Probably not a good time to sell, but Bull Bitcoin will give you that option. If so, you could buy, sell. They give it to you both. You go buy on-chain, you could buy with Lightning. They have those different options. So if the price of the transaction is a little high, you could just go with Lightning and you're good to go. But not only that, you could also pay your bills with your Bitcoin. You could use Bull Bitcoin to facilitate the pay of your bills. And you could also buy gift cards with your Bitcoin and with Bull Bitcoin. And you could spend that in the real world. So essentially, you're using your Bitcoin the way everybody intends it to be used as a currency through a gift card, of course. But the best thing to have over there is the KYC free buys. And Joey and I were talking about that before the show. Something we are very fond of and something that we recommend people take advantage of. Not many jurisdictions offer this. Over here in Canada, we're very lucky. We have Bull Bitcoin where you can just simply go to a Canada Post. There's over 6,000 locations nationwide. They'll take your Canadian dollars, load up your Bull Bitcoin account, and you can buy KYC free Bitcoin with that. The spread is very cheap. It's the cheapest in the game. Easy to do. I did a video on that if you have any questions. And if you have any questions that you want to ask after that, you can simply just reach out to us. We'll be happy to answer them. But yeah, check it out. Use our promo code below. By doing so, you get $21 added to your account.
Killer. Can't beat it. It is the cheapest KYC free Bitcoin on the planet. Nothing comes close. We love them. Okay. So Len, housekeeping. Last week, thanks once again to Taylor, Sugar, and Drew McMartin for coming over to CBP HQ, doing a live rip with me on Wednesday. I really enjoyed that conversation. It's a little longer than we usually do for interviews, but those guys were full of good information and good data, and I appreciate when guests take time to prepare graphics to accompany the things that they're going to say. Taylor did a great appearance in the summertime, and this one was definitely nothing less than special as well. So big thanks to Drew and Taylor for their efforts last week. You were on High Hash Rate a couple of weeks ago. Is it out yet?
Oh, last week I was on High Hash Rate. Yeah, I was on Wednesday. It was late night for me. It was 11 o'clock start. Because one's on the West Coast and one is on, I'm guessing, Central or Mountain Time. Central, I'm guessing. So it was a late start for, or, you know, 11 o'clock start. But whatever, it is what it is. I had a lot of fun. And I think I'm going to have one or both come on the show in a not-too-distant future. We'll just reciprocate the hospitality they provided me. So, yeah, absolutely. It was a lot of fun. I don't know when it came out, if it came out, or what's the story. But it's going to be sometime soon, I would imagine, if it's not there yet.
Can't wait. This week, Hrvoje Morić, Geopolitics and Empire, and the Hrvoje Morić Show on TNT Radio. I've been on his program before. We met through Mark. Jeff Tivik introduced us or got us in touch for the first time. I really like Hrvoje's show, Geopolitics and Empire. It talks about a lot of the same stuff that we cover in Clown World, maybe through a more serious lens, let's say. I don't want to call him a doomer, but he's he's thinking more about the ways that this has gone south, and he gets a lot of good guests, a lot of high quality conversations and discussion over there. So I'm really looking forward to talking to him. It'll be his first time on our show, and that's going to be Wednesday night. It's Wednesday afternoon, I think, actually. I have to check my schedule, but I believe he's on a bit of a weird schedule because he's in Mexico and does obviously a bunch of different shows of his own. So I think we're going to do that in the afternoon. We may stream it. We may not. TBD. But very much looking forward to that discussion. Thursday, Access of Easy, as usual. You guys should be listening to that show too. The latest in data breach and overreach, and EasyDNS publishes that show. It's a lot of fun, I got to say. Len and I used to do it Thursday nights. We can't do it Thursday night this week either, Len. I got to go to my dad's for dinner again. He's going on vacation. And so Friday, we've been doing it. Morning, coffee rips. I like it. Do you like it? Do you like the Friday morning? I would never move this show to the morning, but I do enjoy that Friday morning with the coffee.
I'm indifferent. It doesn't really matter to me. I'm easy to get along with in terms of that. It's, as long as there's availability in my schedule, I'll do it. And just like the fact that we'll be doing this show one day, not just this one, but maybe the successor for this show, maybe some Clown World specific show, Joey. We'll do it in the morning, Friday mornings to Thursday. Well, I don't know where the heck it would be. But maybe one day we'll do that. It would just be morning Clown World show. We'll do that every day.
I love it.
One day. But it's definitely not an agenda right now.
Elsewhere on the network, Two Whites and a Blue and the NHL 94 podcast, both releasing shows in the past week. Mike, Will, and I recorded on Saturday. Pretty good discussion on mental health. Not something we talk about a lot, but something I think about a lot, thanks to some of my own experiences and a few of the volunteer positions I've had over the years. So it's a good discussion. And of course, the big question from that episode, Len, should you bring your girlfriend or wife to your beer league games if you're not the best player on the team?
Why not?
I don't know. It feels like, I don't really know what the other side feels like on that. I'm not going to toot my own horn too much here, but I'm usually one of the best players. So my girlfriend or wife has always come to those games. But if you weren't the best player, I don't know. Hard to say. I don't know. We discussed that. We're very competitive. And so we talked about that. What was the NHL 94 podcast like last week? Who'd you have?
King Raff on the show. And he dived deep quite a bit in the past few years into the attributes of the game. And he does a few of the ROM hacks as well. So it was good to talk about some of the attributes that are just not well known, some that are well known. And yeah, it was an interesting discussion. He was also a two-time winner of the King of 94 tournament. And the first one he won was a thriller, went to a game seven, went to overtime, if I recall correctly. So yeah, it was a lot of fun chatting with him. And I have another episode, another interview lined up next week. I was going to have it this week, but I moved it to next week. And so I'm trying to do a show every couple of weeks, maybe every three, and go from there. It's just, it's still a lot of fun. And I'm a part of a new players league trying to get into the King of 94 as well through that. And I won my first two matches. So I'm kicking butt, taking names. Got the magic thumb, the master thumb ready to go. And let's see if I keep this up. Detroit Red Wings.
When are you going to start streaming your games? Can you stream your games?
I don't stream them. I record them and then cut them up and put them on afterwards. Because streaming it, you're going to get all the before and afterwards. I just put just the match on. So it's just a match, nothing else. And it's there on YouTube.
I like it. So yeah, a lot going on. Now we got a lot to talk about tonight. So as usual, Bitcoin news up front. Where do you want to start?
Wait, I still have some five. Boosts I wanted. These are the top five in terms of sats. So number one, Rander, 333 sats. Laser Eyes in the Street, Web3 in the Sheets. Banger quote. So Doug and Roop, 525 sats. The most important lesson to teach and for new coiners to learn. What do you sell your Bitcoin for? A couple of times he was saying that he loved everything that was said, but the reality is I can tell you for myself that I don't know right now what I'll sell it for, but there is going to be a point in time I will sell it. I'm not going to take it to my grave. So I will sell some of it, but when, I don't know when.
You waiting for me to say something? I don't think I'm going to sell it for anything anytime soon. I mean, you have to use it at some point. Using and selling are synonymous in this scenario. I don't plan on trading it for fiat. I'll tell you that. That's not in the cards.
At least not now. One day. I mean, I don't think ever for fiat. I'll do it for goods and services.
Yeah, that's the point, right?
Yeah. Top W Cone, 550 sats. I'm glad to have the ETF. I have several years of matching dollars in a 401k. It is trapped and the government would punish me for taking it out by stealing 35 to 40%. I've been DCAing since October 21st, but that is not much. An ETF lets me buy, quote unquote, a Bitcoin that I could not buy otherwise. So when he's old enough, he's going to take out the money without punishment and then he could turn, burn, and freeze. Sell the ETF, buy a Bitcoin, and move it to a cold card. Let me have access to the dollars that I've been able to use it. So I like this. He's just using it for the time being, the tax advantages that come along with it. But the only thing I wonder is, will we ever take advantage of it? Is there going to be a point in time when the government rugs us from even getting access to our funds in the market? I don't know. I suspect that this will happen one day. Is it soon? I don't know.
Yeah, you and me disagree, I think, on the ETF. But there is, you know, one good thing I think we can agree on. People who have locked retirement savings vehicles like 401ks, like, you know, employer matches and stuff like that, especially in the US, this is a good thing for them. So I'm happy to hear that. Anything that's not like, you know, fuck, I don't know, defense stocks or Philip Morris or whatever. Like if you're locked in the stock market, you know, the ETF is going to be good for you if you're a Bitcoiner. I think that's fair to say.
Sir Snacks Locked, 832 sats. Getting wrecked by an ETF is like getting wrecked by Terra Luna or FTX or Celsius. It will drive you away, or it will cause you to fall down a rabbit hole into what true Bitcoin is. Wrecked is the cost of the lesson, but you guys are giving a lesson away for free. I like that.
Right. Yeah, I like that too. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the kind words.
Mm-hmm. Last but not least, we have 2,000 sats from Checkpoint Jeff. And he writes in, thanks so much for explaining Fountain's sound cutting. I thought I was going crazy. Have to listen at 0.5 speed to understand anything. Great work spreading the Bitcoin gospel. Cheers, my friends. So for him, let's talk
very real slowly. Sometimes I listen on like 1.2 or 1.3, and then if I turn it back down to one, it sounds like the whoever's speaking has been drinking all day. It's like a weird, weird change in the speed. I try and listen to 1.1. That's like where I cap out. Nothing is like, I'm not losing much. And also it doesn't feel like it's super, super just like busy Mickey Mouse, you know, speed and pitch. 1.1 is the speed I like.
Let's go to the Bitcoin related news.
Lead the way, buddy. I'm ready.
Yeah. Okay. So in the words of BTC Sessions, Stripe is a shit coin, and I agree with him. And for those who don't know the story, I'm going to first have to define what is Stripe. And this is straight from their website. It says that Stripe fiat to crypto on-ramp. It's a simple way to embed crypto purchases directly into your check flow. So essentially, you're using this as a quick and easy way to move into Bitcoin or move out of Bitcoin from fiat or to fiat. And Stripe is the way that's going to onboard it or one way or another. So it's just a lot of merchants are taking advantage of it. But we learned this past week that Stripe, which up until now, I guess, hasn't had a strike against them. I could be wrong, but I don't recall hearing anything truly bad about them. Maybe the KYC free part or the KYC part is pretty bad. But aside from that, they're not 100% in favor of Bitcoin. I mean, fuck, even after hearing this, I can't even say they're neutral of Bitcoin, even though they offer it as a service. Because there was a Belgium company, and it's by the name of BitSaga. And this, you know, I haven't heard of BitSaga before, but through all this, it became more prominent because BitSaga is dealing with Stripe for the sale of equipment. And what type of equipment are they selling? It's simply just Bitcoin mining equipment that is being repurposed as space heaters. ASICs that are functioning as space heaters, that's all they're selling ASICs for. They're not selling it an S9 the way it is. No, it's been repurposed to look and act like a space heater. So they have, for example, the BitHeater 750 watt unit. They have the BitHeater Tower 850 watt unit, or the soon to be released BitHeater Pro, and that's an 1800 watt unit. So, you know, they're nothing too drastic. I understand what these are. The two of them look like they're
retail. Those are retail or like individual retail product style stuff, right? It's nothing crazy.
No, they look nice. They function nice. And, you know, the only difference, if you break it down, the only difference between this unit and a traditional space heater that you could go to Walmart or order off Amazon, plug into your outlet, is this one throws out numbers out there to try solving blocks. That's really the only difference here.
Yeah.
It's a random number generator. That's it. So, but yet Stripe, in their infinite wisdom, decided that the sale of such equipment goes against their terms of services. Their terms of service is quite long. I couldn't find anything in there specific with ASICs, but it may be buried in there. I don't know, but this particular person, they tried to appeal it, and the appeal, unfortunately, turned out to be negative. So they're not going to reverse this decision. So essentially, Stripe does not want you to sell Bitcoin miners or even Bitcoin miners repurposed as heaters in this particular case. So I'm wondering, where do they draw the line? If I build a laptop that just does random number generator, which is essentially what ASIC does, is that going to be precluded from being sold on Stripe? If so, why? If not, why not? Mm-hmm. So when I hear shit like this, it drives me fucking nuts because they are trying to make it harder for businesses to do their business by putting barriers that shouldn't even be there. Making a barrier for precluding them from selling a random number generator, to me, makes no fucking sense. I'd love to know who's pulling the strings and why they're doing it, because I don't think they're just doing this willy-nilly. Somebody somewhere must be telling them to do this. Why? I'd love to know a little bit more. If somebody has some information about this, I'd love to dive deeper. But this fucking reeks. And Stripe, just like Ben said, they are a fucking shitcoin.
We don't need more information. Ben is only half right. And the problem is the banks, not Stripe. We understand, here's the quote, we understand that your business may be legal, but for now, due to various reasons, including requirements that apply to Stripe as a payment processor, requirements from our financial partners, and the potential risk exposure to Stripe,
there you we're go.
Currently not able to work somebody's with certain industries. It's, you know, we've dealt with this. You and me still don't have a business bank account. So, you know, like we deal with this all the time. You and I have been through this ringer a couple of times with different institutions. I won't name them, Duke Credit Union. You know, I just think that this is another example of banks pulling the strings and companies like Stripe and others who are sort of middlemen, intermediaries, and sort of selling convenience more than they're selling financial services are not to blame here. What, you know, to ask Stripe to go against the wishes of a big financial partner is to ask Stripe to go underwater for BitSaga. No sane person or company is going to do that. Period. End of story. BitSaga is a casualty here for sure. But, you know, to call Stripe a shitcoin, I'm not necessarily sure that's fair. What I'd like to know, Len, is, you know, which banks that are working with Stripe on any number of different financial fronts are the ones, like you said, pulling the strings. What's going on here? I wouldn't use the term financial partner if this is the way I treated Stripe and the customers that Stripe has, right? These people aren't partners. They're, you know, they're hostage takers. These guys have a gun to the head of Stripe at all times. They're monitoring financial transactions and clients for everything, probably, Len, if I had to guess, from like ethical violations, you know, TOS violations about what you should and shouldn't buy. Guns, you know, for a while were hot. They may still be. I'm not exactly sure, especially in the United States. You could talk about like gambling and stuff like that. And of course, Bitcoin / crypto, they lump them in together. So I'll lump them in together here too. This is ridiculous. This is why BTC Pay Server and stuff like that is so important, because you just want to be able to go around these people. And when it comes to circular economics and Bitcoin, this is one of the reasons that you should be pushing for it locally, as opposed to like in El Salvador, in Peru, I'm not saying those are bad things necessarily, but there's important, you know, important factors here that should be driving us to sort of promote the circular economy domestically first. We got to get this right, because if Bitcoin fails in the United States, it's going to be a huge setback. And, you know, specifically then, if we can't sell mining equipment to each other, what do we do? You know, mining equipment's a key part of the network. We've talked about the importance of mining decentralization. I suspect over the next year or so, you and me are going to have a lot of conversations about what it means to have too many industrial mining operations running, publicly traded miners contributing to hash rate. I think that's going to come in the next year or 2 years. And so I look at this story in particular, and I think mining hardware is going to be really important. That's kind of an easy thing to step on now. That's going to be important in the future. So anyway, not to drag this out too long, but this is, you know, one of many stories like this. You and I, like I said, have experienced something similar, and I expect this to continue. We got to find ways around this. One other point I'll make: why are we trying to engage with governments if banks are the ones, you know, cutting people off at the knees when it comes to services and products related to Bitcoin? Like the yes, are thinking about this stuff. I don't have an easy solution here, but the natural sort of next step, I think, would be to just develop a circular economy, use BTC Pay Server, use Lightning, whatever, and try and figure this out for ourselves. Because no one's coming to save us, right? This is a kind of a small story in the grand scheme for the moment, but this is symbolic of a larger problem that's, you know, starting to take shape on the horizon, I think, to say the least.
If you're running a business, you're going to eventually need to go from Bitcoin to fiat.
Yeah.
So you're going to need something to do. And if there's something preventing you, then there's problems moving forward. Now, the question I would have then, if Stripe is not able to move forward based on one of their financial partners, isn't it incumbent on Stripe to go out and find a new financial partner that would enable them to complete the sales like this? No, because ultimately, they're there to try to serve their customer.
Yeah.
And in order for them to do so, well, the existing financial partner doesn't allow them to do that. So they should go find somebody else that will allow them to complete the sales. It's not like this is something that's illegal. This is certain. It's a completely legal piece of equipment that you could have, you could own, and you could sell. You could make it even. No problems. There's no laws against it. So they should go out there and try to find somebody else to do business with.
I mean, you could run this simulation out to N, let's say, mathematical N. You're going to always be able to serve less customers if you take that approach every time the banks tell you you can't do something. So naturally, the sane response is to just say, okay, then no crypto. That's fine. We'll cut off the crypto. We'll cut off the mining. We'll cut off the whatever. There's, 99% of the client base is not dealing in that. And of the 1% that is dealing in it, 99% of that 1% would be willing to remove the miners from their storefront to keep the service that they had with Stripe. It is a sort of an unfortunate state of affairs, but it is the reality, I think. And if we're banking on companies like Stripe to make the, difficult decision to sacrifice dollars, customers, partnerships, and potentially good standing with the U.S. federal government over BitSaga, we're in a boatload of fucking trouble because it ain't going to happen. And there's going to be many more situations like this that are much easier decisions to make for banks, and they're not going to do it then either. So it's not going to change. We got to be on top of this stuff and try and come up with other solutions. Now, maybe long term, you start talking about changing where you're domiciled or using other partners, other places, or going to a country like El Salvador where this is not only accepted but promoted and popular and sort of the baseline expectation. But for now, we ain't there. So let's see. I mean, it's kind of doomy and gloomy to talk like this, but this is what you're going to get from companies the size of Stripe. There's just never going to be another decision-making model that takes over and gives you another outcome. Not that I can see anyway. I don't imagine that's going to come anytime soon.
We could take our business elsewhere and build our own businesses or our own platforms. Like you mentioned, BTC Pay server mm-hmm. would be one. And why would this do anything to do with the government? I don't see anything from the government to say that businesses should stop dealing with this. So if you go ahead and find another financial partner, it's not going to piss off anybody in the government. Maybe Elizabeth Warren, but she doesn't represent the whole government.
Yeah.
She's just a corner of the government.
I mean,
so
you think,
the reality is,
you think, until you, you see, think, keep going.
Until you see some official language from the government, it's all just speculation.
You're never going to see official language from the government. You and I both know that the government and the banks are two sides of the same coin, especially in the United States. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily speculation to say that they're in cahoots trying to put the kibosh on this, whatever sideways, using whatever sideways avenues they can. Doesn't mean it's, doesn't mean it's the view of everyone in government. Of course not. I think you're right about that. I think there's a lot of people in government who view this a different way. And we can get into, if you want, another time, talking about the difference between what choke point style policymaking looks like and what, a dying empire does on the way out, the people at the top trying to maintain power for as long as possible. I think that's potentially what you're seeing here, right? I mean, you look at the SEC and you look at, people like Warren in elected positions. And I think that there's a lot less of them than there were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever. So I don't know. It's, Nick Carter has talked about choke point a bunch. And, there was a sort of an admission by the Obama White House after the fact that they were trying to choke out, I think it was marijuana businesses or weapons businesses. I forget which. And, TGEM's in the chat saying choke point two. I can't remember. Choke point two is now, well, allegedly now anyway, but it looks like it's going to be for crypto style stuff. And, banks at the end of the day, Len, are about making money, and Stripe is about making money. And so I doubt very much that banks, particularly care where you make the money for them, in terms of user fees and whatnot, but somebody cares. I think it's the government that cares. Some regulatory agency, some back room, they're the ones who care. Banks don't give a shit or how you make your money. They'll sell you anything for a user fee for 2 and 10, right? As the saying goes. But it's somewhere else where the call is coming from. I don't think it's coming from inside the house on this one.
And they just approved ETFs just 2 weeks ago. So
they did.
Any conflicting information? I don't know. Just, you know, I see what's going on. And
depends how you feel about the ETF. I mean, for you to say that is a bit weird because you've in the past said the ETF's not real Bitcoin. Approving the ETF, so I think it speaks more to my point than to yours, right? If they're approving the ETF, it's really more lending itself to getting away from self-custody, away from sovereignty, and away from decentralized mining for damn sure. You know,
that has nothing to do with mining. Having an ETF and a miner, those two things.
I think they're part of the. So they're on the same boat. They're on the same boat leaving the harbor. I think, you know, this sort of idea that the government is going to control and see a lot more of the network than they did before, and try and force people away from the self-sovereignty that Bitcoin provides.
Self-sovereignty is one thing. Holding Bitcoin gives you no more access than anybody else. It just gives you more access to the Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. It doesn't give you more ability to influence the network or anything.
Yeah, for sure.
That's all it does. And the fact that they approved the ETF, it just goes to show that they're not going to stop people from actually buying it. Maybe, who knows, in the future they may change their mind, but they've almost legitimized the asset as being a legitimate asset, a commodity.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree with you there.
And I don't agree with the usage of an ETF. I mean, I know people are using it for tax advantages reasons, but I'm always going to side on the fact you should use cold storage, your own, you know, learn how to buy your own Bitcoin if you can't KYC free, and cold card the whole nine yards is easy to do. And Sabrina has proved that. Anyways, let's move on. We'll talk about Franklin Templeton, because this past week, the grift from these guys has just been off the charts. Remember, we talked last week about the laser eyes, and we were very critical of them for that. And, you know, there's some tweets that just came out this week. They're saying, "You are unsure how to feel about laser eyes, Ben? Just think instead of Ben with hat, W-I-F, hat." This is not a spelling mistake. This is what they wrote. This is clearly done like that. And they're saying that they're excited about the ETH ecosystem and how ordinals shouldn't be ignored, right? Like, this is a company that, you know, are we excited for ETFs? This is now one of them that's now involved with it, a $1.5 trillion assets under management company. No small company here. They're like, what, 70, 80 years old. They've been around the block for a number of years. But you look at their tweets, that at least the past week or so, it's fucking embarrassing. It's like they're acting like a teenager who first got exposure to crypto. And I look at this, and I'm no joke, Joey, I'm half expecting to find a DM to me in my mailbox asking how my trade is going from them after this, right? Like, how... And if they do come to me, buddy, my trade is going smooth. I guarantee you it's going fucking perfectly smooth. But they've lost a lot of credibility with all this in my eyes, right? Like, it's just like a teenager doing it. It's like some guy's fucking playing Rad Racer with his fucking power glove on. And in between stages, he's going there to tweet about crypto and going back to play Rad Racer. And it's fucking, I look at this. This is not a 80-year-old financial institution that should have a great deal of respect. They're tweeting out like just a fucking teenager. And these are the motherfuckers that we are asking to fucking control our Bitcoin, right? Like, does anybody see a red flag here, or is just me looking at this? I see fucking tons of red flags. And not only them, this is another company too, Venek too. I'm going to throw them in the mix here. Venek, remember last week we fucking hated on them for not offering Bitcoin ETFs, but this week they, you know, they tweeted out, you know, it's trolling, I guess, Franklin Templeton for, you know, reasons that, for whatever reason, but apparently Bitcoiners jumped on Venek and loved it that Venek was doing these troll based tweets against Franklin Templeton. But I don't understand, like, how does Bitcoiners go from one extreme to fucking hating them to then going switching sides to absolutely adoring them just by one simple tweet, right? Like, you look at this and it's impossible to measure the amount of simping that's going on for these billion-dollar companies. Why are people doing this? I don't know, right? These are the same fucking idiots. And I'm talking about Venek. Remember, they tweeted just a few days ago that they're coming for your JPEGs. Buddies, they're coming for your JPEGs. Listen to what they're saying. And you want to fucking simp for them? Just a heads up, too. Venek, they've been invited and will be attending the Paris NFT 2024. So nice. They're going there, right? Like, They love this shit. It's just a matter of time before we see VanEck sponsor the greatest JPEG that
what
comes
Bitcoin
out.
What Bitcoin did, sponsored by VanEck, the easiest place for you to get your Bitcoin ETFs.
No, it's going to come at a quote-unquote Bitcoin conference, and it's going to be the best JPEG, and VanEck's going to be there to help judge it. But and, you know, we'll be oohing and aahing about the latest cat JPEGs that come out, sipping on cheap wine and fucking stale cheese. But really, like, fuck, these are the people that we're cheering. This is fucking trash. So again, I have been a fan in the past of the ETFs, but over time I've changed my tune. And after looking at these tweets from VanEck, from Franklin Templeton, it just solidifies my standing right now. These guys, they're not in it for us. They're in it for themselves. Buying Bitcoin, giving it to them, ultimately is going to end in a rug pull one way or another. So if I were you, I would look at these things, look at these tweets, and try to read between the lines. Do you really want to give them your money? Do you really want to have them buy and hold your Bitcoin on your behalf? Fuck it. I wouldn't, but it's your choice.
Do you want to see something funny on the Franklin Templeton Bitcoin ETF landing page? I'm going to pull this up. People who are on audio, it's the it's called EZBTC, EZBC is their ticker, I guess. Okay. Just look at this graphic here. EZBC, an investment fund that enables investors to track Bitcoin's price moving without directly investing in cryptocurrency.
How?
What the fuck does that mean? Like, what does that mean? Are you either you're buying it or you're not buying it? Either you're investing directly in it or you're not investing. Like, are they drawing a line between self-custody and the ETF? Because the ETFs don't. Like, we've talked about this before. Deposit receipts are deposit receipts are deposit receipts. They are buying Bitcoin, and they're trying to convince people who are afraid of buying Bitcoin that they're not really buying it. Like, this to me is bad marketing, really bad marketing. And I just did a Bitcoin and Barbells last week on Friday about the ETF and why I thought it was good for a lot of people. Not everyone, but for a lot of people. This is an example of why it's not good, because this is hard to square with someone who actually owns Bitcoin and self-custodies it. This is even hard to square with somebody who understands how deposit receipts work. This is nothing but a direct investment in Bitcoin, right? At its core, it's a direct investment without the self-sovereignty. So you're losing sort of the best part of Bitcoin, the thing that makes ETF worth anything in the first place. And these guys are, you know, they're unable to kind of tie this all together. They can't put the thread through the needle. So I don't know what to make of this. You know, Len, in terms of what you said earlier about these guys tweeting stuff out, Franklin Templeton doing the laser eyes thing, I mean, I don't want to like give myself flowers for this, but did I not fucking say like a year ago that I thought the laser eyes thing was going to eventually come back and bite us in the ass, that we had to mature as an ecosystem and as a group of people who cared about the future of money? This is sort of an unintended consequence, a second order effect of trying to do something like laser eyes. And now it's been co-opted by Franklin Templeton. Here's the thing, okay? If you're a new person coming into the space, what looks more sane to you? The Franklin Templeton tweets about Bitcoin and that landing page, or Pepe memes and have fun staying poor with the laser eyes? Now, I'm a big Pepe meme guy. I love a good Pepe meme. Okay. I'm fine with the Pepe memes. But the point is, for people coming in, if we really wanted to be the sort of like guiding light for people who are coming into Bitcoin and not Franklin Templeton, we kind of dropped the ball there. I honestly think it's safe to say that. And I hope we learn from this. You know, I think we will, and I think we have. But this is frustrating for me, because the laser eyes thing was, I think this was predictable, honestly. And I think this is something that people are not really talking about, that we let this one slip by us a little bit. It was fun for a while, but we really hung around on that for a long time. I still see a lot of laser eyes in people's Twitter profiles too.
You hate that.
I just think it's dumb. I mean, look, did we not get kind of backdoored here? We did. And if you look at all the people with, and like, this is the other thing too, right? When you look at people like Fred Krueger, okay, who's become a favorite of mine to talk about on this show, let's pretend that Fred Krueger works at, you know, Bank X, or, you know, is a branch manager at your local retail banking outpost, okay, your brick and mortar bank. If someone comes in there and says, well, my son says we should buy spot Bitcoin and just hold it in self-custody, he's going to be like, oh, is he a laser eye? And then he's going to show you, or he's going to show this person who comes into the bank, the laser eyes on Twitter and the tweets and the memes. And while we may think it's funny, you're losing an opportunity to like bring people the most important stuff about Bitcoin, that the self-custody, the sovereignty, the counterparty risk alleviation, all that stuff. Because why? We decided to do Bitcoin, you know, what was it? Laser eyes till 100K or something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but. And I'm going to get shit for this too. I got DMs last time I talked about this, about how I shouldn't be shitting on laser eyes. I'm not shitting on you. I'm just saying this was predictable. Okay. It was predictable. I talked about it. A lot of people talked about it. And, you know, we should have fucking seen it coming. We should have fucking seen it coming. We didn't. And now Franklin Templeton's got the laser eyes too. How's that make you feel? It's like, you know, once your parents are on Facebook, it's time for you to get the fuck off Facebook. Okay. This is your fucking Facebook moment and your parents are on now. Franklin Templeton has the laser eyes. We got to find something new because it's making us look bad now. We got to figure this out, man. Come on.
So what do? We tell people not to buy Franklin Templeton products or not buy ETF products.
I mean, I don't know.
What I've been saying for a long time, I mean, for quite some time.
We're not going to buy the ETF anyway, you and me. Like, we're not going to do it. But I want to be able to say to people, like, look, on Twitter, here's what people who actually understand Bitcoin say about Bitcoin. And not be constantly, like, you know, having to answer questions about why the fuck is this, you know, laser eye person, you know, blasting out fucking shit about. It's hard to even describe, really, honestly, because I even agree with some of the stuff that the laser eyes say, probably more of it than not. But the point is that for someone who's new people coming into the space, new money, which we need to drive adoption and price, we're not doing ourselves any favors at this point. This is an indisputable fact. We're not doing ourselves any favors at this point with the laser eyes. We got to get off of this. If Franklin Templeton's PR team can figure this out, that they got to go this direction with the laser eyes, and we know it's time to move on, right? Regardless of my opinion, your opinion, anyone's opinion. If FT is doing it, it's time for us to find something new. I think that's, we can all agree on that. Whether you think the laser eyes was a good idea, bad idea, we hung on too long, we didn't hang on too long, whatever. If they're doing it, we got to jump ship. It's time to jump ship.
I don't give a fuck about the laser
eyes. Do you have laser eyes in your profile picture? I don't even know. You don't.
No,
you don't
my either. Coffee mug. It's been like that for like a long time. In fact, it's a coffee mug and it has a picture of a Tahini's hat because when the price of Bitcoin went to like, I don't know, 15K or something, it was a joke that I was going to start working at Tahini's and Ali photoshopped the hat on my mug. So I was going to be working there sweeping the floors. So yeah, and it's just
that, okay. I'm not shitting on laser eyes. Keep the laser eyes if you want. I don't care. I don't know that it's doing us any favors at this point, is all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I'm not, I hope we can still all be friends. I hope to have a beer with you guys in Montreal. Okay. But I'm just saying from my point of view, I don't think it's that great an idea.
You know, as soon as the price of Bitcoin rips, we'll
I know everyone's going to be fucking laser eyes. I saw,
no, I mean, I'm not going to change my fucking thing. Dude, my profile.
There was
thing.
A meme of like Sailor. There was a meme of Sailor today. I can't remember where I saw it, but it was, he had the balls. Yeah. But did you see what's under his shirt?
No. I just thought it's balls.
It's the dick. It's the dick. It's like a big throbbing dick, like right up to the guy's fucking neck.
Oh, okay. That's funny. I mean, that's pretty funny stuff.
Not saying it's not funny. I'm saying that for people who are just showing up, it's not like, might not be the chord we need to strike with them, you know? That's all I'm saying. I know you guys in the chat are saying like you don't agree. Okay, I mean, you know, disagreement's the spice of life, I guess, right? But yeah, you know, whatever. I love you guys anyways. Let's all just make it to Montreal.
Let's all be friends. We're all Bitcoiners. We're not shitcoining and selling ordinals. While we're on a topic of ETFs, we could still talk, I guess, about one thing. ProShares, because they're going through the motions right now with the SEC to approve five different ETFs. And the five are, I'm going to name them, ProShares Plus Bitcoin ETF, ProShares Ultra Bitcoin ETF, ProShares Ultra Short Bitcoin ETF, ProShares Short Bitcoin ETF, and ProShares Short Plus Bitcoin ETF. So it's a lot of different ETFs. And in terms of what they're going to try to achieve, we have something similar here in Canada. I think the tickers are BITO and BITI. BITO for sure. BITI, I'm not 100% sure, but I think that's it. That's a long and a short 1X for Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And what they're trying to do over there is have a leverage one where you can have up to 2x. Then there's going to be another one that's 1.5. But the maximum of all these five different Bitcoin ETFs that they're trying to file for, one of them is going to be 2x, and it could be a short version of it. And remember, they're not going to be holding Bitcoin directly, from what I understand. It's going to be some sort of derivative. I'm not exactly sure.
It's like a synthetic. I can't remember how those things work. Someone in the chat could tell us probably.
And those are rebalancing every day. So yeah, in the long run, if you're going to hold on something like this, especially the 2x or even 1.5x, you're going to get absolutely wrecked in the process, because the rebalancing, you just won't win in the end. Unless it's constantly on a slide and you're on the right side of the trade, then you're okay. But if it's chopping up and down, you're going to get wrecked in the process from the rebalancing. So I don't know what's going to happen with this, if the SEC is going to approve this, but everybody's jumping on board and want to try to find some gimmick type ETF. And here's another one. ProShares, they're known for this. They do a lot of these, and they're trying to do this in the United States. And if they do, you know, whatever, just another ETF. And buyer beware.
They'll approve it, I think, right? This is it's a spot ETF market now. It'd be hard, kind of hard pressed. It was a futures already, so they really have like checked all the boxes here, I think, as far as like precedent. I would guess they would approve this too. You, especially because you can get like levered inverse ARK ETFs. You can get levered inverse Qs, levered inverse Cramer, levered inverse whatever, right? Like you can get pretty much anything you want at this point. It's like a casino over there at the Robin Hood Stock Exchange levered options trading desk. So I don't think they'll have a problem approving this one. There's way worse stuff. If they don't approve it, how many more times do you have to see them giving shitty treatment to Bitcoin related equities, Bitcoin related ETFs, Bitcoin related leverage products, futures products? I mean, they've done it a million times. This would be nothing new, but it seems to me like they're running out of reasons to do that at this point. I think they actually have no reasons left, but you know, Gary's pretty creative when it comes to reasons to say no. So
Yeah, so that's why I'm not going to hold my breath for whatever decision is being rendered here. But it goes back to our first topic. Remember, we're talking about, is the government, or in this case, the SEC, which is arm's length version of the government, are they against Bitcoin? If they're going to be approving this, then, you know, officially it seems like no. Unofficially, who knows? But here we go. We got another story about a potential fat finger transaction, and it's block 826032. And in this one, somebody paid a little bit over 4 Bitcoin for a transaction fee, for 4.03 to be specific. And that's around $173,000 at the time of the transaction. It's gone down since, because the price of Bitcoin has gone down since then. And the pool that mined it was via BTC. I'm not exactly sure how to say it. But I don't know the specifics of this, but somebody fucked up, it looks like. And it's not like they were trying to have a particular pool mine it for them, because they broadcasted it. It was in a mempool. Anybody could have picked it up, and whoever mined that particular block was going to be able to do. In this case, it was via BTC. We're seeing a lot of these lately, and I don't know what's going on. Are people just unaware? Maybe this was a hack, and they just got somebody's wallet, and they just wanted a transaction done right away, so they just maximized, you know, how much Bitcoin they have, so for sure the next block would include this. I don't know what's up here, but
who knows?
We're seeing a lot of these, and I don't know. I'd love to know the story behind this. If anybody has it, share with me, because I couldn't find much to it.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to make of this either. I don't even have a comment. What can we say? It's all sort of behind a veil, right? What's your best guess, if you had to guess?
If I were to guess, it was somebody got access to somebody's private keys, wanted to move the funds
as fast as they could. Yeah.
So there was a substantial amount of Bitcoin on that particular wallet, and they just decided, you know what, I think it was 6 Bitcoin in total was moved. I could be wrong. And 4 of it was for the transaction itself, the fees. So they just wanted it moved, and they came out, you know, like champs in the end. But who knows? Maybe it's not it. Somebody just fucked up and added a few extra zeros where they shouldn't have. I don't know. But you know what? Software out there that are setting up the signing, like Sparrow, Electrum, shit like that, I'm not sure if they have something in place that prevents you, or at least gives you a prompt if you're about to send something that's very, very high. I know the cold card does. Like if you're going to sign a transaction that is just super high, I think it does give you some sort of warning.
It does.
The actual software like that prepares it, I wonder if that does it as well. If not, maybe they should start thinking about doing that just to prevent something like this in the future.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't hurt to give a prompt. The question is, especially if this was like a nefarious actor, right? The question is, could you use this to stop transactions as well? Maybe like if you set, I'm trying to think about in Sparrow, they don't have this feature yet, I don't think anyways. Could you set a wallet when you set it up to never pay more than X Satoshis or X percentage of the total transaction in fees? Like you could use that to probably stop. Wallet? Yeah. Like when you set up, like let's say you set up a Sparrow, you open Sparrow, you have a new cold card, right? And when Sparrow prepares a transaction in, when Sparrow prepares a transaction for the cold card, it'll never allow you to prep a transaction that's over like whatever it is, 2 Bitcoin in fees or 1 Bitcoin in fees. You know, like, is that a possible thing? I don't think it is, but I'm not 1,000% sure on the spec.
A covenant may protect you from sending it, I guess, to certain addresses, maybe even amounts. I'm not exactly sure, but I'm not sure if Sparrow would have this.
They even do it? Like, I don't know if they could even do it. Yeah,
absolutely. They can. It could look at the mempool and look at
that's for sure. You're right about that. Yeah.
So just based off that, they could certainly do it. And I don't know, again, if this was human error or if this was done on purpose, but you know what? Via pool, whatever they're called, via BTC, they're the ones that were the beneficiaries of it. They made quite a bit on this particular transaction.
Nice coin. Yeah.
We'll see if this gets refunded too. Who knows? Maybe it was just an error. But
yeah, we'll talk about it again next week like we do all the time with these stories.
Yeah. And you know what? Since we're talking about Sparrow, let's talk about, there was a particular update that came out today, version 1.8.2, either yesterday or today. It came out. And this one, a lot of people that are against ordinals are looking at Sparrow and wondering if they should continue using it moving forward, because this particular update, it has a positive impact on ordinal users. And I don't know exactly why, but from what I understand, this is adding something called output reordering. And the ordinal camp has been asking for this option for some time for non-randomized inputs and outputs. I don't know why it would be needed in the ordinal camp, but apparently they were asking for this for about a year and a half. And now Sparrow decided to implement this feature. So I'm not looking at this. I'm wondering, should we still continue using Sparrow if they're making updates that may be appeasing the ordinal crowd moving forward? Maybe it's time that I'm going to start moving on to use Electrum. I'm wondering about this. This could be a real black eye on their particular product. And they've been good up to this point. You know, they've been pretty good. But this, I don't know, this might be a bridge too far for me if it's indeed what it is, what I think it is. So I may just start looking at other things. I like Sparrow. It's easy to use. I've been using it all this time. I'm somewhat familiar with Electrum. But if push comes to shove, I'll fucking switch. And a lot of other people will do the same. So, man, oh, man, this is not looking good if it is what I think it is.
Okay. So there's a thread here that I pulled a little while ago and I have it bookmarked. I'm not technically competent enough to know how much of this is fact or fiction, but it's a thread between Unhosted Marcellus, OOMAHQ on Twitter, and Reardon Code, who you guys probably know, many of you probably follow. I think he worked for Casa. Yeah, Casa and Bitco. Okay, so Sparrow was busy enabling ordinals on their wallets. This is like halfway down the thread. Reardon Code, please stop lying. Sparrow rejected bajillions of ordinals related feature requests. I was there in the early days when people were losing ordinals left and right and asking Craig Ra to directly support them. They enabled output reordering because it's an important wallet feature, not because it's specific to ordinals. So I think that's probably, you know, accurate. I should note that this is probably like, you know, something that we'll figure out in a week or something like that. That's, you know, an important wallet feature for some reason that is lost on me and you at the moment. But
so far to date, like nobody's come forward to say why they would want this particular.
The Sparrow Telegram is like full of people who are pretty hardcore, and there's really not even a single comment on there except that. He actually is.
The ordinal crowd has invaded the Telegram channel, from what I understand. After this,
I honestly don't see that much in here that's specific to ordinals. So,
I'm not on it. So, this is from what I understand. So, I could be wrong.
No. I mean, I personally don't care about this. Like, again, you and me, I think, are both against ordinals. But at the end of the day, like if enough people are using ordinals and they want some kind of, you know, what is just at the end of the day, some kind of user interface change, more or less, like it doesn't affect Bitcoin, the network. It doesn't affect anything. It's just an interface, you know, that makes it easier to do something to do with the wallets that maybe helps people who use ordinals or care about ordinals. Like, is that a second order effect of the change, or is that the intention of the change? It seems to me it's not the intention of the change. So, you know,
I don't know if it is, because this was a PR that was done, or at least a request that was done about a year and a half ago. And when it was written up in March of 2023, it was essentially something that was supposed to positively impact ordinals. And then they implemented it basically as requested. So I'm looking at this, and I'm not saying for certain that's the case, but you know, there's a lot showing here that maybe this is something that is specifically for the ordinal camp. I gotta, you know, I could be wrong, but if it is the case, if it is something that is specific to make ordinal users, ordinal users' lives better, fuck it. I don't want to make their lives better. I don't want to have a product that I use is going to be making their life easier. Fuck that. I'd rather use something else. I'd rather support something else and recommend something else to be used, because I don't want to push people down the road of shitcoining. This is shitcoining on Bitcoin. And for me, anything that goes along those lines, fuck it. I'm going to go the opposite way. So yeah. I'm going to be looking at this in the next few days, and it's going to probably dictate to me if I'm going to be using and pushing Sparrow. Maybe I will be, maybe I won't be, depending on what I find.
It looks like you can do this in Electrum too.
Oh, so nunchuck or something. I'm going to just keep moving down the line.
I mean, like, but the point, like, isn't the point though, Len, like if the thing, again, like if this is something that makes sense for all users of Bitcoin, and it just happens to also help the ordinals people, like who cares? You know, like if more people need this or want
I'm
this,
with you that.
Yeah. So,
but if it's more just or almost.
If they did it for the ordinals crowd, yes, then you got a problem. Okay. I mean, that's a fair stance. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't necessarily have the same stance. I like Sparrow a lot, but, you know, I would definitely think a little more about recommending it for sure. It gives wiggle room to other wallet clients, right? There's a lot of opportunity for market share take on that front. I mean, the ordinals thing is somehow still fucking going on. I don't understand this.
0.1 BTC
for cats. I know. Yeah. I was in a good space today with Mechanic and Daniel Prince talking about ordinals for a long time. I barely ever listen to Twitter spaces at the gym. Like, I need like hard dubstep to try and get through my workout. But I did end up listening to these guys for a long time today, and I was impressed by the content. I hope that Daniel recorded that. I can go back and listen to it because I missed the beginning. But a lot of people talking more and more, much like you have. I was going to say we, but really it was you that's been saying this about the coincidental nature and volume and funding these guys got all at once for the cats, for other projects like Taproot Wizards, all that stuff. Like a lot of money.
Another one.
Yeah, a lot of money. Well, drive chains, whatever. But this is a
bigger... it's in the same vein. It just showed up. I mean,
maybe, right. But this is a way bigger thing on Bitcoin than DC's ended up being. So, yeah, a lot of people thinking along the same lines you did. You were one of the first people to see the problem. So let's see, you know, more people coming to your camp. Yeah, it's a lot, right? And people are kind of like falling asleep here a little bit. I was on Mempool this morning, just for shits and giggles, looking at the fees. Let's see what they are. I know they go up usually at the beginning of the week. They're pretty low right now, 31 sats per B-byte across the board. But, you know, there was a time when it was, you know, 2, 3, 5, 1 sat per V-byte, right? The fees were a lot lower. And we're kind of sleepwalking into this, you know, I hate to say the word, but or the phrase, but new normal in terms of fee structure on the network, right?
We could go back to single digits fees.
We could, but we also might not, right? I don't know if we're going to go back to single digits. Yeah, you know, what you don't want is for people to think that it's normal to pay, you know, $5 a transaction.
It's normal, whatever the transaction is that you're going to pay. That's the normal. Yeah. It could be 200 sats per V-byte, which would be obviously way more than $5.
That'd be a lot.
Yeah. But that people were doing that. People were doing 300. People were doing even higher than that. I saw 400 or 500. In
2017, the fees were fucking insane. Late 2017, early 2018, they were fucking insane, right? I don't remember what the V-byte rate was, but I remember paying like fucking $20, $30 without knowing what the hell I was doing. So that's a different time.
Yeah, and another thing to consider too is the sats per V-byte. It's probably going to go up a little bit, but as the price of Bitcoin goes up, then the sats per V-byte shouldn't really go up that much higher, because if you look at the dollar value, which is going to be the trend, how much you're spending for the transaction, you'd look at that and it's probably going to drop down a little bit.
Depends, so, right? Like the miners want as much as they can get, and we've talked about
that's an equation that's outside. Sorry, that's a variable that's outside this equation. All it is how much people are willing to spend. That is it.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. So, and I wonder, as the price of Bitcoin theoretically gets, six figures, then are you still going to have 200-300 sats per V-byte? I don't know. I don't think you're going to have that, because that's going to be a very costly transaction. And so you're going to have the sats per V-byte come down significantly, in my opinion. That's my theory here. I could be wrong in what's going to happen, but I don't know. I see this, and I don't know. It is what it is. It's just another interesting story. But I guess we'll talk about one last thing. Tether, sure. No BS Bitcoin. They're reporting that they bought another 8,888. What an even number, 8888 Bitcoin. And now they hold a total of 66,465 Bitcoin on their balance sheet. So they bought that in the last quarter, the 8888 Bitcoin. They're falling behind MicroStrategy if you look at how much Bitcoin MicroStrategy bought last quarter, but still, this is nothing to sneeze at. They have a significant amount of Bitcoin on their balance sheet, and it will continually grow. And if you like that, great. If you don't like that, too bad, because there's nothing we can do to stop this, and they're going to be stacking a lot more moving forward, all thanks to the U.S. government, actually the Federal Reserve to be specific. So there you go. Tether, they are a monster, and they're going to become a bigger monster moving forward.
I like it. 8888, by the way, in numerology circles, sign of abundance. So make it that.
Or it's a couple of Eric Lindrosses.
It's a double Lindros or abundance. Yeah, yeah. One of the two for sure. Don't know which one is more important, but Lindros, I mean, hopefully they'll get caught skating across the blue line with their head down. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, you don't want to get Scott Stevens.
Yeah, you don't want to get Ford. You don't want your 88 to get Ford. That'd be tough.
Joey, that's it for the Bitcoin side of things.
Let's go to let's go to Clown World. God bless if you're on audio. Catch the rest tomorrow. If you're on video, stick around. We'll get right back to it.
Yeah, don't be a cock.
Are you a fan of the old school NHL 94 game on the Genesis or SNES? Why not check out my show, the NHL 94 Podcast, from tournaments and tactics to the people who make up this community. Check it out wherever you listen to podcasts or find it on YouTube.